good evening, Grand Prairie, Dawson Creek, Fort St. John, or wherever you're joining us from. I am Brooke Skelly, the host of Fresh Angle, and we are so glad you decided to spend the next few minutes with us. And we do believe you will be happy you did. Fresh Angle is an all-new program designed to help you see God, yourself, and others through different eyes. How do thriving relationships sound? Guilt and shame gone. Hope and peace, meaning and purpose, and a joy that can withstand whatever life throws at you can be your normal. We often fail to realize these things all have a common source, a clear understanding of who God is, of how He feels about us, and how knowing the truth changes everything. Wherever you find yourself right now, get tuned in as Pastor Dan brings us a fresh angle on God, life, love, and the matters that matter most.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back. Spring is in the air, and I am loving it. We're going to jump right back in the story. I just have to tell you, I've been preaching for a long time. I started helping out my pastor when I was a teenager. I became a full-time pastor when I was 21. I have written, preached through the story of Abraham and Sarah multiple times, and I'm still finding things that I never found before. That is why I love God's word. We are back with Sarah. She has had her long-awaited baby boy. She names him Isaac, which means laughter. Here's what she says. And Sarah said, "God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me." And then she also said, "Who would have said to Abram that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age." There's several things there in that one statement. Sarah, again, sees herself as Abraham does, as the culture has since Eve made that fateful mistake, as being secondary. Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would do this? But that's not the point I want to make here. The point I want to make is she asked the question, who would have said this? In other words, who would have ever guessed that this would have happened? Who would have predicted this? Well, I can tell you, God did. And what I want us to think about this evening, in the short amount of time that we have, is imagine what life would be like if we actually took God at His word. The reason God called Abram and Sarah was to start a new trajectory where God is seen in a clearer, better way, and where we learn to not just hear Him, but believe Him. We've already seen the struggle that they had. Abraham and Sarah both, "I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to have to lie about Sarah being my wife to protect myself. I'm going to have to adopt a son because I don't see a baby coming. We're going to have to take another wife on to be a surrogate mother because we don't see that you're doing what you said you were going to do." And then when God finally comes and says, "Hey, I know Ishmael's about to become of age and you're going to bless him, but the blessing's not for him. Sarah's going to have a child." And Abraham laughs. And then when Sarah hears the visitors announcing that within 9 months she will have a child, she laughs. And now Isaac has been born and she names him Laughter. "God has made me laugh, and everyone who hears the story will laugh." This old woman, well past menopause, having a baby. Who would have ever guessed? Who would have ever said to Abraham, "Sarah will nurse a baby for you"? God did. God's been saying it all along. That's the whole point.
When He told you you're not good enough, when He told you you're not right, when He told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, when He told you you're not worthy, when He told you you're not loved, when He told you you're not beautiful, you'll never be enough. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness, cast your fear in the fire. 'Cause fear, he is a liar. When he told you you were troubled, you'll forever be alone. When he told you you should run away, you'll never find a home. When he told you you were dirty and you should be ashamed. When he told you you could be the one that grace could never change. Oh, fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness, cast your fear in the fire. 'Cause fear, he is a liar. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fears. Let your fire fall, your love is all I feel. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fears. Let your fire fall, your love is all I feel. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fears. Let your fire fall, your love is all I feel. Oh, let your fire fall and cast out all my fears. Let your fire fall, your love is all I feel. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness, cast your fear in the fire.
God can do the impossible. God keeps his promises. God is a God of men and women together, that when a man marries a wife, any promise made to the man is valid for the wife. Any promise made to the wife is valid for the husband. They are one flesh. It's a radical idea for Abraham and Sarah. All of it. That God can bring a baby from nothing? Radical. That God sees Abraham and Sarah as equal? Radical. That God will keep every promise he makes, regardless of how impossible it seems? Radical. Story's not over. Here's what it says next. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, laughing. Therefore she said to Abraham, "Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac." Ooh. On a practical level, this is painful for Abraham, who has loved Ishmael for these 13 years, and now he has to let him go. But this story, as real as it is, as historical as it is, as much as the civilizations of Islam and Catholicism and Judaism and Christianity all trace their history back to Father Abraham, it's also a metaphor for a much bigger story. We're going to flip way ahead in our Bibles to a small book in the New Testament. It's a letter that Paul the Apostle wrote to the church in Galatia who were struggling. They were struggling in the same way that Abram was struggling before Isaac was born. Struggling to believe that God could keep this seemingly impossible promise that got more and more unlikely as time kept ticking by. The metaphor is not that a baby will be born. The metaphor is that God will be born in us. The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Bible story is promising that the character of God, which was stained, twisted, ruined, perverted, whatever you want to say, when Adam and Eve made those fateful choices, God has promised to regrow his character in us, that he would make us people who are restored into his image. The Apostle Paul says, you need to understand that what happened with Hagar and Sarah is a metaphor. It's symbolic. Let me read it for you. Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, and we know who they were, Ishmael and Isaac. The one by a bondwoman, that's Hagar. The other by a free woman, that's Sarah. But he who was of the bondwoman, that's Ishmael, born to Hagar, was born according to the flesh. That's Abraham and Sarah trying to solve this impossible scenario on their own. And he of the free woman, Sarah, that's Isaac, was born through promise, God's promise. Verse 24, which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants, the two promises. The one from Mount Sinai, which is where Moses received the Ten Commandments, which gives birth to bondage, slavery, which is Hagar and Ishmael. For this Hagar, symbolically, is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in slavery, bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem from above is free, Sarah, Isaac, which is the mother of us all. And then this verse, quoting from the Old Testament, sounds completely ridiculous and impossible, which is the point. It is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children, Sarah the barren woman, has many more children than she who has a husband, Hagar. It continues. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh, then persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? And then he quotes what we just read in Genesis. Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. I cannot emphasize to you enough what this story of Abraham and Sarah is symbolic of. It's symbolic of our journey with God. It's symbolic of God coming to us with a promise and us struggling between believing the promise or trying to do it some other way. And the some other way could be an innumerable amount of ways. From Abraham trying to adopt, from Abraham lying and sacrificing Sarah to the king of Egypt so he could presumably go on single, marry someone else and start again, to the two of them colluding to take Hagar in as a surrogate mother. All of these avenues that they chose were avenues of what Paul calls the flesh. They're avenues of us trying in our own reasoning and our own thought processes through our own pressure and panic and paranoia to try and create the result that God has already promised to do himself. That's why Paul refers to them as two covenants. Sometimes if you're trying to understand what God's big story is, you hear about these two covenants, that there's an old one and a new one, and that the old is passing away or gone and the new one is coming. The truth is, there was only one from God's perspective. When God called Abraham, he made a promise. Just one. From God's perspective, it was always his promise. From God's perspective, Isaac was always going to come through God's power and not through theirs. From God's perspective, it was always something he was going to do for them, not something they were going to do for themselves or for him. It was always on God's shoulders. As we said on the weekend where we celebrated the death and resurrection of Jesus, the government is on his shoulders. The story of Abraham and Sarah is symbolic. It's what God does for us. We will continue this next week.
So happy you stayed, aren't you? Join us next week as Pastor Dan brings us another fresh angle. While you're waiting, be sure to stop by our website, send us an email, or find us on Facebook. Our web address is www.freshangle.ca, and you can find all the other ways to reach us there. If your experience with religion so far has been more about fear than faith, more shame than humble confidence, more guilt than joy, or more confusion than clarity, you have come to the right place. Again, that's www.freshangle.ca. See you again next week.